Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves.
Wow, that was enthusiastic.
You know, I'm just trying to ramp it up here. I'm Kate Spencer.
I'm Jory Shafrir.
We are not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And here on a mini episode, we hear from you, the listener. We share your comments and your thoughts and answer your questions to the best of our ability.
And please do remember, we are not experts, but we are podcast hosts, and we do always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a doctor and or mental health professional as needed.
Because sometimes we don't know.
That's true.
But if you would like to reach us, our voicemail number is 781-591-0390, and our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
Both those things are true.
I would never lie to you or the listeners.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Well, we received a follow-up email from Claire.
Claire in Alaska.
In Alaska, you may recall from a previous mini episode, Claire is 13 and had moved recently to Alaska and was struggling to keep in touch with friends. And we read their original email on the pod, and then we received a lot of wonderful feedback. So Claire has submitted a follow-up. Hi again. First, I wanted to let you know how excited I was to hear my email read on your podcast, and I wanted to share how I used the advice I got. I listened to the episode where you read my email dozens of times, oh my God, and had my friends and family listen too. It was great to hear that a fellow listener had a similar experience moving to Alaska when she was 12. To the listener who shared the idea of letter journals between friends, I am in the process of starting two with friends back home in Nebraska. I'll be flying back to Nebraska this summer to see family and friends. Your advice will help me feel less awkward when we reconnect. Hope you're having a great new year, and I'm excited for more episodes. Claire.
Is Claire the most, like, mature 13-year-old in the world?
Writing this, like, wonderful follow-up with, like, the action items is the night.
Claire.
You are equipped to handle anything that comes your way.
You truly are.
That was really cool. The fact that you listened to it dozens of times and also played it for your friends and family, I just want to say thanks that you feel safe sharing the podcast with friends and family.
And then also took action.
And that you were received and heard.
Yes.
I'm glad that you also had a pause. It sounds like you have a great community around you.
I agree.
And like,
with
yes,
all those sentiments.
Took action. It's really, really hard moving at any age. And we're so glad that you were seen and held by this community. What a way to kick things off.
I know. I love a Claire update.
You want to read this email?
Oh, I would love to. Hello, Carrie, the couple name I like best.
Carrie would be you and me, Kate and Dory. Mm-hmm.
Kate. Because you say Kate.
Carrie.
So it'd be Carrie.
Or it could be Corey.
It could be Corey. Yep. All right.
Or it could be date. Just throwing that one out there too. Anyway.
All right. I am binging Forever 35 from the beginning, and I wanted to wait to write until I caught up. But as I listened to you talk about the new year, the 2019 new year, I couldn't help but reflect, and I had to write in about all the ways this podcast has changed my life so far. This is a top 10 list. Number one, I make my own almond milk from almond butter.
Okay, just can I pause with a question?
You may.
Have we discussed this?
I don't think so.
I mean, this is awesome that somehow this podcast has influenced this.
Yes, I agree. But I was also like, huh.
Yeah, I was like, wow.
Cool.
Wow, okay.
All right, 2, I'm obsessed with rose water and use it every day.
Snaps.
3, I now use tube mascara, thanks to the Facebook group for the recommendation. I believe we talk about tube mascara a lot more in 2019, so she has that to look forward to.
Get ready.
Yeah.
I go through all sorts of tubes.
4, I have a daily to-do list that I write for work, and my husband was inspired to do the same. We both love it so much, we now also have a weekly to-do list for the two of us at home.
Oh, that's awesome. I love
a shared weekly to-do list. 5, I've read so many good books with tons more of my list to read. Just finished Angela Garbus' Like a Mother.
A fantastic book and a fantastic book. Forever 35 yes. guest.
6, I no longer feel guilty or weird for not washing my clothes every time I wear them. Yes, amen. I will die on this hill. You don't have to wash your clothes except your underwear, socks, and anything that gets sweaty or dirty.
Okay.
Okay. 7, I bought a diffuser / humidifier for work. I think it's the one Kate suggested. It has inspired one of my coworkers to get their own, and another mentioned how much he enjoyed smelling the lavender essential oil I put in mine. I do want to say one thing about this.
Yes.
Which is that I think people need to be cautious about doing this at work, because people are very sensitive to scents at work, and some people might be allergic or have sensitivities to scents, so... I'm glad that it seems to be working out for you in your workplace, but just in general, I don't think it's a great idea to bring in scents without consulting the rest of your workplace.
I would also say, do not put oils in a humidifier.
I was going to say that as well.
I've learned that one.
So I don't know. You said diffuser / humidifier, so maybe this is more of a diffuser. So just some words of caution about number 7. But I'm very glad that this is working out. I also love a lavender essential oil. So there we go. Okay. Number 8.
Dory is pleased.
For Secret Santa this year, I put together a kit of self-care for my sister-in-law, including a foot bath, coloring book, face masks, etc., as well as a suggestion to listen to Forever 35.
Well, thank you. That's a gift to us.
9, I'm reframing narratives all the time, and it is revolutionary. It really is. Once you start doing it, you can't stop.
Oh.
10, I washed my face tonight and it feels luxurious. I'm sure there are more that I can't think of now and more to come in the next year of episodes. Thank you so much for putting together this podcast. It is truly a delight.
Well, I love a list.
I love a list. I love a fan mail, piece of fan mail.
Yeah, this is nice. This made us feel good. We're so happy for you.
Yeah.
I would also say, don't hesitate to reframe if you ever stop doing any of those things.
Totally.
That's also okay.
It is totally fine.
But this was such a fun list to read. Thank you, listener, for sharing all these things with us.
Yay.
Well, Dory, we had a few emails from fellow horse lovers.
Oh, we sure did.
Because
you came out as a horse lover.
I've never non been.
I know.
I am a horse girl from the day I was born. As I think I've told people here before, I tried to make my middle name horse as a child. My parents shot that down. But we heard from a listener who listens to the show in her barn.
Hey, Kate and Dory. This is Allie from Oklahoma. I have been a longtime listener, and I am so excited. I had to stop listening to the podcast to call in because I am ecstatic that Kate has finally really explored on air her love of horses. Horse people have a way of finding each other. I've already found one on the Forever 35 Facebook group, and I'm just really excited that you guys talked about horses on the podcast. Horse people will understand. I'm a barn owner, and so a lot of the time I'm listening to the podcast when I am cleaning stalls or doing tractor work or other horse barn things. So just wanted to say I'm a fellow horse lover, and it's a great way to kind of develop self-care outside with animals. And anyway, I'm just really excited for you, Kate. Can't wait to hear more about riding and spending time with horses. Okay, bye guys.
Well, this is definitely on my list of things to try to make a consistent thing. I love horses. I love them my whole life. I love riding. I love being around them. I love their smell. I love their poop. I love horses. Question I want to pose to the audience. How do you do horse self-care without spending $1 billion? Because horseback riding is a very expensive hobby, which kind of, I feel like, limits it to who can have access to it. And so I'm just curious.
I actually have a suggestion.
Just go, like, kidnap a horse?
No. An old dog walker of ours volunteered once a week with some sort of, like, therapeutic horse organization.
Oh, this is awesome. Okay.
That is here in Los Angeles. Couldn't tell you exactly where it is, but I'm sure you can find it. And so she got to go and hang out with horses and take care of the horses. I don't think she rode them, but I'm not sure. And yeah, and I think, you know, it was really great for her. So that could be a way to kind of scratch that itch. I don't know if you'd be able to actually ride them, but at least you would be able to be in the horse world.
I mean, just the energy of a horse.
The energy of a horse
gives me... Yeah. Like calm.
Yeah.
I know some people don't feel that way about horses, but like,
So that could be a thing to explore.
Great idea. Because that is something, like, as we talk about self-care practices on Forever 35, it's one that I really love, but I also know it's really limited for who can have access to it. Mm-hmm. So that's just something I've been thinking about. I don't know. Okay. Dory, I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay. We've got one more voicemail here. Hold on.
Hey, Kat and Dory, it's Sarah. I'm calling from Denver, and I just want to say I find your voices, just the tone of your voice, very soothing, and I love it. I love your voices. It's so fun to hear everything you have to say, and I've always had huge issues. You can hear it. I always think I sound like a cartoon character. It's so funny. But very young, and I don't really particularly like my voice. I'm 44, turning 45 this year, and I just have issues with it. So I particularly find your voices so fun to listen to, and I just want to say thank you. Bye.
So obviously I appreciate the very kind compliment about our voices.
Same.
But I thought there was a lot more here to talk about.
Oh, go on.
Because the way we think and speak about our voices, especially think as women, mm-hmm. women identifying people, mm-hmm. is deeply rooted in all sorts of isms. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to encourage you, listener, to reframe how you think about your voice. And that can be really hard because women are critiqued constantly. So, you know, again,
we've been critiqued,
oh yes, for our vocal fry and
for uptalk,
lots of things.
Yes.
And also I do think, you know, you can only reframe your own narrative so much when the narrative around you, the societal narrative that you're pushing against, is different, right? Like, mm-hmm. look, it's great to do the individual work, but sometimes it's like, well, what does it matter? Mm-hmm. What does it matter? But you know what I mean? We're up against
a lot
more.
Feels like an uphill battle.
Yeah. But, you know, I think the one good way of helping to change the conversation about women's voices is to start working on, I don't know if embracing is the right word, but neutralizing our feelings towards our own. I don't know. I just wanted to open this one up because also as a person who's just listening to your voice, it's fantastic, listener.
Same.
Yeah. And yeah. You know, I mean, there's so much
voice shaming.
Yes. That is
that is very gendered
and sexism, yeah. And racism. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just wanted to throw that out there. And I would also say, I don't know. I was going to say, please don't email us about our vocal fry or our talking, but I'm not going to say that.
Okay.
Anyway, just something I was thinking about, Dory.
And yeah, I really appreciate you taking this voicemail to another place.
Well, and I really appreciate this listener for calling in and starting the conversation. So thank you. Let us pause.
Okay.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
We received a really in-depth email.
I thought this email was fascinating.
Yes, me too. Shall we dig into it?
Let's do it.
It is long, listeners.
It is long.
So after just talking about our voices, you're going to hear them for a long time now. Should we break this one up?
Sure.
Okay. We can share the bullet points. I'm a longtime listener and fan of the pod. Though I listen to many podcasts on my long commute, I have never felt compelled to write in until now, having just listened to your interview with the founders of Chemist Confessions. I am a mom of 3 young kids and a skincare self-care aficionado. However, I'm sharing my 2 cents as an epidemiologist and professor who has been studying human exposure to endocrine disruptors for over a decade. This is where I just say, wow.
Mm-hmm.
On this episode, the issue of conflicting evidence on endocrine disruptors came up, as well as the idea of consumers, quote, doing their research to make the best decision. So here are some thoughts from someone who spends most of her time working on these issues.
Shall I take it away?
You do the first bullet point.
Okay. There is abundant evidence from animal models and human studies that exposure to endocrine disruptors like phthalates, my main interest, can have adverse health impacts, particularly during pregnancy. Along with a wonderful group of collaborators, we recruit women during pregnancy, follow them across pregnancy, measuring their levels of chemical exposure, and then study the children's development over time. We have observed, for example, that high exposure to phthalates are associated with changes in hormone levels in pregnancy, gestational diabetes, and preterm birth, as well as adverse outcomes in children related to growth, obesity, and neurodevelopment. Outside of pregnancy, a number of endocrine disruptors have been identified as obesogens, meaning they promote weight gain and fat accumulation. Yes, we always need more research, and there will always be more to learn, but there's already abundant evidence that these chemicals can negatively impact our health.
Next bullet point. Thinking about what's in your food, not just your personal care products, is a great idea. Victoria and Gloria are absolutely right that many of the chemicals we worry about in our skincare products are also in the food we eat. The good news is that minimizing chemical exposure through food align well with what we know about eating better in general, so you don't need to be a rocket scientist to make improvements. For instance, I recommend choosing less processed foods, including fresh vegetables and fruits, organic if you can afford it.
I do want to push back a little bit on this organic if you can afford it.
Go on.
Thing. Because from what I understand, and I would actually love to hear from listeners who are more educated on this than I am, but from what I understand, organic fruits and vegetables are not always quote unquote better. And organic farming uses a lot more water than quote unquote regular or non-organic farming.
Interesting.
And that the impact of organic foods on your health is still up for debate.
So literal food for thought.
Literal food for thought. So I just want to raise that. Done. I'm done raising.
You raised it.
Okay. Okay. Third bullet point. Your personal care products make a difference as well. There's a study of teenage girls in California, which suggests that by swapping your usual cosmetics and skincare products for cleaner, greener products for just 3 days, you can reduce your chemical burden considerably. That's because many of the chemicals we worry about, like phthalates, parabens, and phenols, are rapidly metabolized by the body, so they quickly pass through. So choosing cleaner products does make a difference.
However, expecting the public to be savvy consumers of ingredient lists and to, quote, do their research to determine what is safe and isn't safe is unfair and unrealistic. If there is uncertainty about whether a chemical is safe for human health, why is it our product? Why is it in our products at all? Europe has adopted an approach called the precautionary principle, whereby protections are put in place to limit chemical exposures, such as in personal care products, until those chemicals are proven safe. Here in the U.S., it's a free-for-all, and there is virtually no regulation, leaving the burden on the consumer. While there are some signs of positive change and moves to better regulate chemicals and personal care products, unfortunately, at the moment, our government has put the interests of the chemical industry above the health of the public. If this is an issue listeners care about, they can speak with their wallets by supporting companies that choose not to put endocrine disruptors in their products. I recommend checking out the Environmental Working Group's Skin Deep database and looking for EWG certified products as a great and relatively easy place to start.
I also want to say one thing about the Environmental Working Group.
Yes, Dory.
Which is, again, from what I understand, these EWG certified products is like a paid certification.
And smaller businesses can't always afford to do that,
so
right?
Just because something is not EWG certified does not mean that it is quote unquote bad for you.
And we should say this is a listener's weighing in with their thoughts.
Yes.
Not our thoughts. But an interesting point of view.
No, but I, you know.
From a professor.
Yeah. I think all of this is good food for thought, and I definitely agree that our government could do a much better job intervening and regulating, although certainly under the current administration, that's not going to happen. But there have been plenty of Democratic administrations under which this did not happen either. So
good thing we get to vote this year.
Yep. All right.
I mean, we get to vote every, you know, not just this year.
I hear you.
You know, yes. What I mean. 2020, baby. Anyway, thank you, Professor, for weighing in on that one. That was a very exciting, long, thorough email to get. We really appreciate it. Where are we here? Oh, okay. We have a listener who has a question about a scar, a facial scar.
Hi, Kate and Dory. I am calling from the good old Boston, Massachusetts. I am parked in the parking lot right by, well, one of the many parking lots right on the Boston side of the river, where I was just walking my nine-week-old puppy, who is very, very lovely and who I love so much, but is a bit of a pain in the ass when you try to take him for a walk because he will not walk. And I was bending over to lure him with some cheese so that he would walk a few steps on the leash. And not get distracted by, you know, all of the geese. And I stood directly up and smacked my head very, very hard into a tree. I'm fine. But it is bloody, and it's got a scar, and I think. And I am just feeling very sad for myself because the past year has been a skincare journey for me. And thanks to you guys, I finally have beautiful skin that I am, like, stupidly proud of. I'm getting married in a few months. And now my, like, darn vanity, all I can think of is not how lucky am I that I got to go for a walk with my beautiful little puppy on this freezing but gorgeous day in Boston. But my thoughts are, oh, no, I'm going to have a huge scar on my head for my wedding. So any advice about skincare with a facial scar? It's not bad enough that I need to go to, it's just a scrape. It's like a skin knee, but on my head. I'm just being dramatic. It's not like... you know, whatever. But any advice you guys have about how to help wounds not scar badly, or how to get rid of scars once you have them, especially on your face? Should I stop all my other skincare products? I will check with a dermatologist, but I am also just curious to hear from you guys, as you are my skincare gurus. Thank you so much for everything I do. I love you both. I love the pod. You're the best. And cheers from Boston.
Well, first of all, hello, Beantown.
Love that dirty water.
We do. Say hello to Fenway.
Which isn't actually that dirty anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Say hello to Papagino's.
Papagino's.
I love a Papagino's. Okay.
Have you consulted with a plastic surgeon?
That seems like a good place to go.
Yeah.
I would consult with them, no disrespect, before consulting with us, right?
Sure. I mean, I personally don't have, like, scar tips.
Nor do I. So I would say, like, get yourself to a doctor and they can probably help you. And I would also take it easy on the products, because I'm not sure what can exacerbate scarring and what can help it. I'm, in terms of, like, actives.
Right.
You know?
I'd love to hear from people who have had facial scarring.
Yeah.
If they have any advice. So facial scar havers, please weigh in.
Please weigh in, and definitely consult with a medical profesh. Keep walking that dog.
Yeah.
Sounds lovely. And congrats on your wedding, most importantly.
Yeah, congratulations.
That sounds very exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, Dory.
We're going to take a short break.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
To finish things off, we have two voicemails mm-hmm. that are kind of about similar topics.
Yeah.
And they're emotional and serious, so mm-hmm. just heads up.
Hi, Kate and Dory. Love the show. I'm calling because my boyfriend and my sister are both going through similar but very different issues right now, in that they're both going through kind of low points. My sister, mainly because of a very toxic work environment and resulting stress in her life. And my boyfriend, because he is originally from Iran, and current events with the country, including the planes that got shot down, have really been hitting him really hard. I have suggested therapy for both of them. I'm in therapy. It really helps. But other than that, I'm not sure what to say to them, or how to help them out other than, saying I'm sorry and I'm there for you and I'm here to listen. But it's really hard to try and help someone through really hard and difficult times, when I really don't know what else to say other than I'm so sorry. So I don't know if there's any advice or if that's just the best the best that I can do, and I'll definitely be talking to in therapy about this. But I feel like I just felt like calling to you guys. It feels like the type of question that this community would really be able to help me with. So thanks. Have a great week. Bye.
Thank you for entrusting us with that question.
Also, it really is a testament to the amazing listener community we have that someone would feel that they could call in and ask this question and be met
totally
with a response.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, Dory?
I mean, it sounds like you are being really supportive.
Yeah, it really does.
Were my thoughts.
No, same exact thought over here.
You know, I mean, I think being a good listener and offering empathy but not trying to fix things, which has been kind of a recurring theme in our conversations, is really important. And just knowing that, I think people knowing that they can trust you is so important. And it sounds like you have their trust, which is great. And I think, you know, you don't have to be actively, quote unquote, helping them all the time.
You know? Yeah, I think just your general presence of support is enough. And also, you know, you can't, if one of them expresses interest in therapy, you can offer to help, try to find someone, you can look at their insurance. I mean, you could do things like that. But I would say it sounds like you are being a really sympathetic support system to both your sister and your boyfriend right now. And I'm guessing that they feel that.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can also periodically just say, I'm here if you want to talk.
Yeah. And I do think there are things you can do. Like if your, you know, sister's is having a toxic work environment, like suggest you go for a walk one evening, or, you know, go see a movie, or there are things that you can kind of do that may, you know, help them process their stress.
I think also what I found helpful when I was going through tough stuff is when people would say, if you want to talk about it, I'm here to talk about it, but we can also totally talk about other things.
Yes, that's a great, great suggestion.
Because then that leaves it open for them to bring it up. But also if they're like, you know what, I really don't want to talk about it, then you can just, you know, you're kind of distracting them and that's what they need.
Yeah.
And I would also say something to avoid is saying things like, you must be feeling bad now. This must be really hard for you. Like telling people how they feel under the guise of empathy, I think is something that people do a lot. And I don't think it's actually helpful.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. And this is a larger conversation, I think, but we're not really taught how to communicate empathy and sympathy.
No.
And it is such an important thing. And so it can be clunky and there can be a learning curve to it 100%.
Yeah.
So those are great. Those are great thoughts, Dory.
Oh, thanks, Kate.
We have one more voicemail to share.
Hi, Kay and Dory. I'm just going to get into it. I've been thinking about what I'm going to say, so I'm already a little emotional. But the last 3 years or so for me have been really tough from mental health wise. But I haven't really shared it or opened up with anyone in my life about it, except other than my boyfriend. Because, you know, I didn't want to bring it down, get the mood down, didn't want to make everything all about me. You know, because I see my friends so much more infrequently now than when we were all at school or just earlier in my life. So, you know, I want to have a good time and just spend time with my friends. And I've just, even my family, I've just turned the conversation away from myself just so hard that I don't even know how to, you know, people, they do genuinely want to know how I am and what's going on. And I obviously don't want to dump everything on them, you know, all at once. I think I just need some advice about how to begin to recreate these, or just nurture these, like, emotional relationships, because I think not having them and not having that with other people is not great for me, obviously. And how long can a friendship go on without, you know, that real emotional connection? I mean, you know, there's different levels of friendship and stuff like that. Now I'm just rambling. I'm sorry. But yeah, if you guys have any advice, you're always so insightful about kind of opening up a little bit to the people in my life without, you know, turning it into a therapy session and dumping on them. I really appreciate that. Thank you. I love the podcast. Bye.
This broke my heart.
Me too. We're wrapping you in like a big virtual hug.
Mm-hmm.
We're just like snuggling in a really, you've consented. And now we're hugging you.
Yeah.
This is really hard. It can feel so, what I'm hearing, listener, correct me if I'm wrong, call back or email, is that you feel ready to open up to the people in your life and you're unsure maybe where to be. It sounds like you are wanting that support and that emotional connection and maybe trying to figure out how to do it.
It sounds to me like she's afraid of rejection. Well, if she opens up.
And also, it sounds like you're cautious about quote-unquote burdening people with what's going on in your life. So my first thought would be that think about who these people in your life, I bet they want to listen to you, be there for you, mm-hmm. support you, and know what's going on.
Yeah.
And friendship, and that can be family or not family, but the people we have strong bonds with, that is a part of a relationship. Nobody expects like the one time we get together a year that it has to be all fun mm-hmm. and games, right? Like I'm speaking kind of like I'm a part of your friend group, but I think that if you trust these people and are secure in who they are, that they are going to see you and mm-hmm. hold you up. And I would say maybe start small, but like, pick one person that you feel the safest with, and in whatever way is the easiest way to communicate to them, it is okay to just send an email that says like, something I've wanted to share with you for a while because I care about you and you're a wonderful friend, is that I've been going through a hard time with my mental health, and part of how I'm taking care of myself is by sharing that with other people.
I would also think about like what you want in return. Like, do you want to just share this with them, or do you want them to offer you support in some way? And I would, unfortunately, I do think you need to be explicit about that,
which can feel for people who are not comfortable asking for
things.
Yes,
that can be really hard.
Yeah.
But you know, I would say like, I really just need you to listen right now, or, you know, I'd really like to talk about this in person, or, you know, whatever you think you need. I would think about that. The other thing I would say is like, either before or simultaneously, please try to find a therapist.
Yeah. If you're not working with a therapist,
with a therapist, please do try to find one, because I think, you know, you shouldn't be going through this alone, and a therapist could really help you with some of these issues
and help you figure out how to have these conversations.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we're thinking of you.
We are. And I really, like, I think a conversation Dory and I have a lot is how honored we are that people trust us to have these conversations with them and to share these things with us. And this goes from everything from talking about mental health to talking about face oil.
Mm-hmm.
We see you and we are really grateful to hold the space with you.
Yeah.
So on that note, thank you all so much for listening.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.